Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Hey Tracy, what do you know about industrial grade cord reels?
Well, let me see if I can say it first. Yeah. Industrial grade cord reels.
She doesn't know anything about that. How about tile adhesives? What do you know about tile adhesives? You know a lot about tile adhesives?
No, I know a little bit about tile adhesives.
You do? Okay, I like that. Let's say I sit on the board of a ball bearing manufacturing company. You don't know anything about ball bearings. What do you know about ball bearings?
They have something to do with weight. I think.
No, I can't let that slide. All right, so as a board member of this ball bearing company, let's say, I'd like to recommend you, Tracy, as a corporate consultant to get our marketing in the right direction. Are you capable of taking on the task?
The answer to that is yes, because it's not about the industry, it's about the strategy.
Exactly, and the reason why I'm reaching out to you is because I know what you are capable of, and I know that you might not have a clue about ball bearings. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and I don't know. That's the topic for today's episode of the Journey to There radio show. This is the intersection between personal and business growth, journeytothere.com. That's the website, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Empower Radio, Stitcher. You can grab the show right from those platforms. The importance of saying, I don't know, when you really don't know. Tracy?
Did you know that
I don't know.
The hardest three words to say, what would you think they would be?
I've heard it. I've heard it so many times, and they say the hardest three words to say is, I love you.
Well, I mean, not in my case, but I was asking my husband that question this morning, and gratefully, that was not his answer.
Well, that's
but
good.
He gave me several. Yes, it was. I was kind of nervous. But anyway, so he gave me all kinds of different three-letter words, but the one that he did not give me was the one I was looking for, which is, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That is the hardest three words for most people to say. Now, I have to give you that is the opinion of Stephen Dubner and Stephen Levitt. They are the authors of Freakonomics, and just the name of that book and itself cracks me up.
Freakonomics.
Which became a very successful business book and like escalated them to this expert status in business, but that's not actually the reason they even wrote it. Like, they just study behavioral economics and psychology and things like that why people do what they do and say what they say. So they say, I don't know, are the hardest three words.
I have not heard of that, but I could see where that could be a true statement.
And the thing that you didn't know, which I find to be just completely coincidental, but not really, because I don't believe in coincidences. As our listeners may or may not know, especially if you're listening to our very first episode ever, we welcome you and go back and listen to the other, because you'll love them just as much. That being said, see that marketing plug I just threw in there?
little cross marketing there.
I never know what Russ is going to ask me.
Never.
And, you know, could be a little scary. Sometimes it is, but we work with it. And so he does not know that the reason chose this topic has to do with a couple things, because I always have my variations of how it comes to me. But one of the primary reasons that we're having this topic today is because I was approached by an industry that I do not have a tremendous amount of knowledge in at all.
Is it ball bearings?
Well, more along the line of the tile adhesive.
Oh, okay.
But all that being said, the industry doesn't matter. It's the expertise that does. However, in this particular situation, I was approached about a consulting opportunity, and my very first thought that I went to in my fear-based gut state was, how in the world would I be able to do that? I don't know anything about this industry, and this particular company is in the double-digit million dollars. So I was like, I got to really think about this. And what I thought about was, I don't know about this industry, but I also didn't know about franchising. I didn't know about products to market. I didn't know about building websites.
You didn't know about podcasting.
I didn't know about podcasting until podcasting was born with Journey to There. I didn't know about radio when I was 23.
Exactly.
So
wait, I got a quick question. How long yes. did it take for you in your mind to realize that this company approached you and you're like, I know nothing about this industry? How long in your head did it take you to figure out, but you know what? I know my business and I can do this.
Well, because I'm always honest, I would love to say that it was like a, you know, one of those 90-second windows right. that I had with my big epiphanies before in some cases, but this one was not. This one was something that I had to wrestle with in my mind for probably about the first day or so, just talking to myself, which I have a friend that says, if you're talking to yourself, you're talking to a crazy person, and they're probably right. And then secondly, I felt the need to talk to two people that are incredibly close to me that know me really well, but also know my business and bounce some ideas off of them. And it wasn't until the third day, which is when I had the meeting in which I was going to evaluate on my own terms, as well as they were going to evaluate me, as to whether or not I felt like it would be responsible for me to take on the client.
All right, wait a minute. Within those 3 days, why did you not bring up, we've talked so much every day. Within those 3 days, why didn't you just bring it up to me and let me tell you, Tracy, you got this?
I know. Well, because I've said this on the show before, but I'm going to say it again. As long as I've been doing this, and as a wonderful success that I've brought to my clients and for myself, which I'm very proud of my accomplishments, there is always this feeling of flutter of, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one that's going to take me down. And then I move past it, and then I get over it. So
I'm on the edge of my seat. Can we say what the industry is?
Well, it has to do with manufacturing. It is it involves manufacturing. It involves construction. It involves an area of this very heavily male dominated that I just have not personally experienced outside of the fact that I bought a house once that okay. was pre-construction, and I walked through it with that. So it felt really foreign to me. But again,
if you called me, I would have said, Tracy, you got this.
Right. Well, and the interesting thing about it, so to get to the point of which that was actually my fear turned funny, was that I made it to the meeting, right? So I've gone through this unnecessary struggle in my mind for 2 days. And then I go, because of course I'm going to go to the meeting because I want to be fair to myself and fair to them.
Of course.
And in that meeting, there was another consultant present in the meeting that was going through a transitional time with the company. And this is the first time I've ever been in a meeting sitting across from a person that does what I do. Mm-hmm. and it's not like we were competing against each other in right. any way, shape, or form. But I have to say, I think there was a little bit of that, I don't know, do you know? Do you know more than me? Do I know more than you? And we were both women, so that was interesting, too, because, you know, people think women aren't necessarily competitive. Well,
I would disagree with that statement. Uh-huh.
But what I thought was very interesting, and that I heard her say, and I almost feel like that was what I was meant to hear, because her area of expertise, like, for example, if someone had to say, what is your area of expertise? Mine would be business strategy development, mm-hmm. which, of course, ranges through all businesses. In her case, she specializes in the niche of this industry. And so, first of all, that was slightly intimidating to me. And secondly of all, what she said that I think I needed to hear was, when she was introducing herself, she said, the industry doesn't matter. It's the knowledge of how to run the business that matters.
Exactly.
And I was sat there and I went, yeah, me too.
You know, I'm just wondering, do you think you showed any signs of intimidation?
Absolutely, I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I know that for a fact.
I think it's really cool that she did bring that up, though, because she knows that it's a tough industry, and she knows that this is a situation where you have to bring an expertise in that most certainly might not know about the industry.
And you're right. But what was so interesting to me about it is that she is as marketed as and has been working within that industry for the probably the same amount of years that I've been working as a business development strategist. So what fascinated me so much is I really felt like it was almost the universe was saying, speaking to me through her, because she didn't even need to say that because she does right. know the industry. And I felt like it was a gift of some sort that came through her to me. Now, that might be a little woo-woo, but I'm saying that, why would she have said it? But when I heard her say it, my blood pressure lowered and I was like, you know what? She's right. And I was right all along, but she's right too. So that was one of the reasons that I chose this topic, because I see it happen in people's personal lives and in their business lives all of the time. They get to this place where they feel intimidated, or they want to show off their expertise in front of a crowd, or they don't want to disappoint someone. And this is, again, this is in your place of employment, running your business, being a wife, being a mother, you know, being a daughter of a mother, where you just don't want to, you want to save face because you don't want to indicate that you might not know the answer, but at the same time, you don't know the answer.
So, all right, well, let me ask you this. So it's okay to not know. It's okay to maybe in your mind say, I don't know, or even say it out loud in a meeting. But is it one of those situations where you would condone saying, oh, yes, I know, you know, I certainly know about your industry. Won't that get you into trouble?
I don't know. However, I can only speak from my experience. And my experience has been, when a client has approached me in a similar situation that what happened to me that drove this topic, I will say to them when they present their idea. So a lot of people come to me with ideas to start businesses, and they might have an idea, for example, that they want to take a product to market, and I don't know anything about that particular process or manufacturing. Or, you know, a great example might be the cookie line that mm-hmm. I brought from the index card to the fancy food show and big box retailers. When that client came to me, I said to him, you need to know up front that I have never done this before. It doesn't mean that I can't or that I won't be able to, but I feel like that it's my responsibility to share with you that as a consultant, I have never worked in this particular process.
Okay,
so I felt better about that.
I will say that with some situations, that could get you into trouble and you could lose the client. In this situation, I know Tracy, I know you, and I know your personality, and the fact that you are an upfront person and you had that client that appreciated that and still moved forward with you and ended up with success, I appreciate that.
Well, and I don't think I would have been able to do it any other way, because I would have felt like that I was almost being something that I wasn't.
Like scamming the person.
Well, yeah, or just
misleading.
Well, I guess, yeah, misleading. I mean, scamming sounds so harsh, but I didn't do it, so I guess that's okay. But for me, it was like, if you want to walk with me on this path, we can do this together. But I don't want in any way to let you think that I'm leading this path with a clear directive when we're going to be learning about this at the same time. And if you're willing to do that with me, let's do it. And if not, then we're better not working together. And it did work out well. But I knew when I had that conversation that there was the risk that he might choose another consultant. And that was fine, because that was his choice based on the information that I gave him. And it all worked out wonderfully. So in that case, you know, I think saying I don't know or I didn't know that process was the wise thing to do. You will find that there are some alternate business perspectives around that, which is that you shouldn't let on that you don't know. You should just, you know, say yes to everything and then go figure it out. And I can't necessarily say I haven't done that one either, because I have, and it worked out, but I felt very panicked and very fearful around it. And I think I learned a good lesson about that as to how that made me feel. And even though I was able to deliver on the ultimate goal, I did not like operating and working within that type of mentality that I was imposing on myself. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And it's funny because I deal with this all the time with a company that I work with. And one of the things we do is we create animated business videos. And I had this company come to me. I've never been a grocery bagger in my life. I never dealt with bagging groceries, except when I go to, you know, Walmart, Target, or whatever, where you get to go through the line and bag your own groceries. You know, you just scan everything yourself. And I just, I'll throw raw meat and eggs and chemicals together in this. I don't do it anymore because this company who manufactures bags had a video produced. We produced the video, and it was on the proper bagging techniques. And it's funny because they knew, you know, I'm not a grocery bagger. I run a company that produces these videos, and you're coming to me for my expertise. And they even said, I know you know nothing about bagging groceries, unless maybe you do. But I'll tell you this, I didn't know anything about it. But now every time I go to Target, Walmart, where they have the self-serve, you know, scan and bag lines, I properly bag my groceries now. The Windex does not go in with the deli meat anymore. And I put the crushables away from the non-crushables and build barriers and everything when I'm putting my cereal boxes
wow.
and everything.
So it's pretty cool. I bet that added just another layer of perfectionism to your checkout line. But I will say I am guilty of, I don't know about the mixing the chemicals with the eggs, but I will say that I am very guilty of putting as much in one bag as possible.
Oh, I do that all the time.
I do not like to make multiple trips. And so I might be a double bagger, and I don't know if you're supposed to pay for that or not, but if you are, I'll be back to reimburse you later, Harris Teeter.
No, she won't.
But I, as many times as I go there, I think we're good. But I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
So in this business situation, so this whole topic for me, it opened up this another perspective. It opened up a lot of different opportunities to, you know, because you're thinking like, oh, I want to do a show on I don't know, but I'm not really sure if that's enough information to entertain myself and others for an entire topic. So as I always do, I did some research on using the phrase I don't know. And sure enough, there have been neuroscientists that have actually studied this. So more than just me was intrigued by why people do and do not feel comfortable saying I don't know. There was a particular researcher named Amanda Waterman.
Okay.
A development psychology researcher at the University of Leeds. Now, I am going to try to narrow this story down for the sake of time. But the long story version, I mean the short story version,
please,
I can't even
please.
Say it. God, please make it short, is that she worked with a group of children, and they were in the range of 5 to 8 years old. And she told them a story about a family riding in the car, going on vacation, and gave them a lot of specific details about said car ride. Then afterwards, she asked the children if the riders in the car had lemonade. And she knew that that was not part of the story. In her story that she told the children, no lemonade existed. But she asked the children in the question, did the riders have lemonade? And 75%
this
of
is five,
the kids,
5 to 8 year olds.
5 to 8 year olds, 75% of the kids tried to provide an answer. And that doesn't necessarily seem like that's such a big deal on the surface, but what it went on to show was that we as adults are conditioned as children most often in the schoolroom setting because we are prompted always as children to a question is being asked for us and we feel the need to know the answer in the setting of the schoolroom and that we need to try to answer the teacher's question no matter what,
now,
if we know the answer
is,
or not.
Is an answer, is I don't know considered an answer?
I don't know. That was not mentioned, but she did go on to say that she did the exact same research with adults. And so I'm not faulting 75% of children.
Of course
that,
not.
You know, try to make the answer because that seems very logical and makes sense to me. I think what was so interesting and pivotal about the research was that as adults, she provided the same experience, and that 25% of the adults tried to answer the unanswerable question as well.
Huh.
So that just goes to show that as adults, we just don't feel comfortable admitting when we don't know something.
Interesting.
And it really fundamentally, and this, now this is my opinion, the psychologist that plays one on a podcast, is that that people are intimidated and they feel like, especially in a business relationship, like I am fully admitting, like I went into a situation where there was a possibility that I would have felt intimidated. I think as adults, we want to showcase our expertise, whether it's about bagging groceries or it's about running, you know, multimillion dollar companies and everything in between. We want to feel like we are empowered and that we don't feel less than. And the idea of feeling slightly disadvantaged, you don't necessarily want to show that. It maybe comes down to like playing poker, which I have the worst poker face ever. So don't ever, I mean, you probably would want to play with
Let's
me,
play
but
poker
I
tonight.
Probably wouldn't play with you. Yeah, right. No. The other thing that I found out about, so all of this philosophically speaking is fascinating to me. I hope it is to you, but your eyes are rolling, so probably not. But this was the thing that I was really looking for. And it's all about our brain chemistry when we can answer a question that we think we know the answer to, we get a hit of dopamine.
Now, a little personal high.
Yeah, just a little boost in your step if you think you know an answer. So your brain is subconsciously, if you know, or if not just automatically, putting you in a situation where you know if you get the answer right, you're going to get that fix. Kind of like if you know if you're going to eat a very warm chocolate brownie with chocolate chips and possible like cream cheese icing, that you're going to get a hit of dopamine. Or more healthy as to what Russ does, if you run 5 miles every day,
two miles,
you're going to get a hit. I know I was exaggerating for you. I thought it might sound better, but anyway, I knew you ran two, just by the way. But you're going to get that hit of dopamine.
Your opinion, and you might not know, you might say, I don't know, but do you think this dopamine thing, this sense of instant little quick high, do you think that happens in children as well as adults?
I don't know, but I will say that I think that we are conditioned very young, and you can speak to this with real time and real life experience, that I think children in school and sports and parental, they're ultimately, their drive is to be good at something or to have approval or to feel like that they are, in some cases, if they're raised in a situation that's very conditional versus unconditional, which makes me very sad, but it does happen,
right,
then they're always striving to be that good child that gets that praising because that's how they define love. I mean, this could go on for a total, like, way down the path of a lot of different scenarios, but I think inherently children want to please, and as a result of that, they don't even understand the concept of saying, I don't know.
Well,
That's my opinion.
Let's try a little test for those that have kids. If your kid is having a down day, maybe you want to ask a few questions, you know, that the child's going to quickly know the answer to, and that child will feel a sense of wow, I know that, and dad will be pleased, mom will be pleased that I knew the answer.
And so you have children that are the ages of 5 to 8, right?
6 and 10, yeah.
Right.
So not 5 to 8, but 6 to 10.
You don't have 3 kids. I was like, wait, did you add one?
No, they just got they got a little older.
6 and 10. Okay. So, and do you observe in yourself as a coach of the same age group of children,
uh-huh,
and as a dad of this age group of children, do you see any of the children, yours or otherwise, feel angst or anxiety when they feel like they can't please in a way that indicates having knowledge around information or performing around something that they think they should know?
On the baseball field, these kids, when they make a mistake, they beat themselves up first. So my coaching tactics is to lift the kid up and say, hey, you know what? You're trying. It's good to make those mistakes now because you'll learn how to fix them. And then, of course, what kills me is when the kid makes a mistake and his parent is behind the stands yelling at him for making the mistake.
Ugh,
that crushes every
episode.
Bit
Ugh.
Of work that I do. But that's besides the point. But it's positive reinforcement in that sense. But going back to I don't know, because I've got a question for you. Put you on the spot here. Tracy.
Oh, great. Like you never do that.
No, I want you to tell me what the running time so far is for this episode.
Approximately 25.
I'm fishing here.
24, 29.
You're supposed to say, I don't know, but...
But I did, because I've been watching the clock on this one for the first time ever.
Stop watching the clock. My point is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, she's going to tell you what she does know, and that's she does know Tracy's takeaways. That's right after this.
Podcasting is fast becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Now is the time to launch your show. Podcast listening grew 23% between 2015 and 2016. And 21% of Americans ages 12 and up listened to a podcast in the past month. So you want to start a show but don't know how? ProduceYourPodcast.com can help. Our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters can help you launch, manage, and grow your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. We offer full-service podcast production with live producers and distribution based on a customized marketing strategy to grow followers. Contact us at ProduceYourPodcast.com and schedule your free 15-minute consultation. ProduceYourPodcast.com. That's ProduceYourPodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
The importance of saying I don't know when you really don't know. This has been a true meeting of the intersection between personal and business growth. It's the Journey to There radio show. Tracy, what do you take away from the show?
Well, actually, Russ, I'm glad that you brought up the intersection between personal and business growth, because the other reason why I wanted to bring forth this topic is because I had a very powerful personal experience around this prior to the show. A few days prior to this recording, one of my very best friends lost her husband in a very unexpected and very tragic way.
Yeah.
And we attended the services, and everybody wanted to know why. Like, he was an amazing man, great father, great husband, great businessman. I mean, 750 people at his funeral, great man. And everyone's
wow.
wanting to know why did this happen. And I thought that the pastor at the service said the most wonderful thing, and he said, everybody wants to know why. And I'm here to tell you that you will never know why. And if there is somebody who is trying to tell you that they know why, avoid them. And
that
I took that away. I mean, in the midst of all of this tragedy, it's such a great life lesson, is that not everybody, you're not always going to get the answers to why. And if there's a person who's trying to get their dopamine hit off of trying to explain to you the why on something like this, you just need to avoid them. And I just thought that was super powerful. So not necessarily a takeaway, but in some ways, yes. But in some of the takeaways, so we've hit on a lot of things that had to do around the idea of being judged, having judgment, feeling like you might be judged if you are not feeling comfortable saying, I don't know. So there are some alternative phrases that you can use, and I thought it might be helpful to pass some of those along.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Okay, so one of them, which I thought was fascinating, is you turn around the question. So you would say something like, what an interesting, thought-provoking question. I don't currently know the answer, but I'm going to enjoy finding it out.
Okay.
Like, see? Silver lining.
There you go.
And then in the back of your mind, you're going, that jerk. No, I'm just kidding. And then probably my biggest takeaway that I want to say is pause and do a gut check and ask yourself, are you trying to answer this because you feel dominated or intimidated? And do you actually know the answer? And if the answer is yes, then state the answer with confidence. But if the answer is no, resist the urge to provide an answer. And then that is when you can say something to the effect of, I'll find out and let you know. And at the present, I don't know about that particular thing, but it would be great if I had a moment to get back to you on it. I mean, there are several alternative ways that you can say, I don't know, but making sure your motives are in the right place before you actually try to state an answer that you're not confident
with. Yeah, don't overthink what the response might be of the person that's asking you the question. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Have you taken a visit to the website lately? You've got to check it out, journeytothere.com. You can reach out to us. Leave your comments of this or any of our past episodes. Listeners around the globe, they're catching us via iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Empower Radio. Our next episode of the Journey to There radio show is going to be a good one, and I don't know what it is.
But me neither.
I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
Good question. I'll let you know.
I don't know.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.